Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
How's your brain?
Goo.
Oh, boy. No, seriously, a little joke aside, how's everything with you?
I've been doing all right.
That's great to hear. Good to hear. Doing well on my end. Actually, it's not been too bad of a week compared to previous weeks, so that's good. But yeah, we're here the last show of April, so we're going to finish it off the best way we can with the new release and our last Easter Horrors marathon film. It's an interesting one. I'll give it that. So, yeah, again, nothing really newsworthy this week. I mean, besides Three from Hell getting an R rating, I mean, which is it's all right. That's nothing major there. But, yeah, there's really nothing noteworthy whatsoever, except for, of course, like at the end, the big thing this week is Avengers. So everyone's going to go see that. And horror is just kind of on the sideline until whatever, but we did get the new release this past week with The Curse of La Llorona, which is a film that we both saw, so we're going to be bringing you a double review of that, and I guess we'll just go ahead and get into it, Ian, because there's probably,
woo,
honestly, there's not that much to get into with this one, but I digress. Curse of La Llorona, I guess it's not really a spoiler. I mean, would you consider it a spoiler, Ian, if I said the little thing that happens halfway through the movie?
I don't think so.
Okay, so La Llorona is a part of the Conjuring universe. There's a scene where the priest, and you see in the trailer, is the same priest that dealt with Annabelle in the first Annabelle film. That's the only like major thing. I don't even really call it major, but it's like, oh, you know, cause I like when the trailer came out, like he looks familiar. I just can't remember who he was. And then because again, I try to put the first Annabelle far out of the reaches of my mind cause I don't really care about remembering
right.
that one. So like, okay, it makes sense now. He's the priest. Preacher who dealt with Annabelle, and so this one takes place. It's the same tired formula film that you've seen before in many other La Llorona type films. This one is again more of a Hollywood budget, not low budget shit that you see direct to DVD, which there's a lot of. And I actually watched a few before gearing up for La Llorona because there's a lot I haven't seen. And I was, like, watching one called Joquel, The Curse of the Weeping Woman. I had it was not very good. And then, like, I've already seen The Wailer, but I haven't seen 2 and 3. So I was trying to get those in, but things just got in the way. And so there's a handful of, you know, there's one called Demonesse, which is not very good. But nonetheless, this is the Hollywood trying to cash in a little bit on the Nun. Because I'm saying The Nun because this is almost the exact same film as The Nun. But this one takes place in the 70s, you know, around the same time as the Conjuring films. And we are, you know, the La Llorona, you know, beautiful Spanish lady finds, you know, handsome gentleman, falls in love with her. They have two kids. And the husband falls in love with another lady, and so she gets pissed, and in a bad case of revenge, she drowns her two kids, and then drowns herself, and of course, we have a curse. Then it's in early 70s, around, I think 73 was the year, we're introduced to Anna, who is the mother of Chris and Samantha. They lost their father not too long ago, who was a police officer. And Anna is also works with Child Protective Services. And she is on this one case where it was going to get moved to another lady. But since the lady knows Anna and everything like that, it had been easier to go do a checkup on her because they haven't really seen the lady in a while. And so she goes to the house and, you know, she's like, where's the kids? And of course she's being, you know, like hesitant and like, you know, not really hectic, but you know, just like she doesn't want anything to happen to her kids, of course. And says they're taken care of. They're safe. And, Anna goes to the kid's bedroom. There's a door and has all this, writing and images and signs and like eyes and circles and stuff like that. And she, you know, the mother of the, you know, not Anna, but the mother who's there, like, don't open the door. Whatever you do, don't open the door. They're safe. You're going to kill my kids, blah, 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 stuff like that. And of course she goes ahead and opens the door and takes the kids out, puts them in a foster, facility, foster care, you know, facility. And basically, La Llorona takes the kids away and drowns them. And then La Llorona is now after Sam and Samantha and Chris, Anna's kids. And that's the basic gist of the movie, where it is now, you know, trying to figure out the backstory of La Llorona. We have the priest who knows the backstory, and he goes there twice, and then we have, you know, all the cliches and the paint by numbers that you've seen done numerous times before in another movie disguised as something else put into theaters. And personally, I did not care for the movie. It wasn't bad, but it was not good at all. It's one of those where I was just sitting there and like the jump scares were like not really that good. I mean, you could see them coming because they're, you know, where they're at exactly what's going to happen. And the one thing about this film is that La Llorona is cool. I like the look of La Llorona and what they were doing with La Llorona. It was just a lot of things like, this exposition, all this build-up to, like, these interesting scenes. Like, they only written down, like scenes. I like, oh, that would be cool to do. And this would, you know, let's do this. That would look cool. And it's just a lot of, you know, nothingness in between until, you know, exposition, you know, lame dialogue that goes nowhere. And just, again, it's just like circles. It goes around in circles, like, oh, what's going on with my kids? I don't believe you. All of a sudden you hear the crying. Oh, I don't hear the crying. There's something going on here. No, there isn't. We don't believe you. There's like no talking. You know, like everything's starting to happen to like the kids. Like they're seeing La Llorona. They're getting grabbed and their arms are burned from La Llorona grabbing them, and you know, they're like, of course, like, oh, I fell, you know, like nothing, you know, like you know, it's whatever. And so it's just a lot of stuff that just leads to nowhere, and then Anna finally, you know, comes to the realization after she gets burned that there's something amiss, and they're trying to figure it out. Like I said, go to someone who knows exactly what's happening, which leads them to somebody else who's not affiliated with the church to help them put away and or put an end to La Llorona, so she won't get the kids, and you have a big, you know, finale in the house with like an, you know, exorcism sort of ordeal, entity, get away from my kids type ordeal, trying to take them away. And it just, a bunch of stuff, and it just, it kind of just was like on autopilot, where it's just like not very interesting. And just, you know, like,
yeah,
the jump scares didn't do anything. There's just like nothing there. Like I said, there's like some cool scenes. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's the umbrella scene, which is cool. I mean, and then the finale was interesting. You know, not the stuff with the house, but like the very, very end when the kind of, you know, deal with La Llorona that takes place in the attic. That was like cool. But there's just like a lot of things that when you look back on the film, doesn't make a whole lot of fucking sense. Where they do this big elaborate ordeal where they have to put, you know, fire beads and all kinds of stuff, you know, like holy water and all this stuff around the house to make sure everything happens correctly. And then the ending happens, and it was just like, why didn't you just do that in the first place? You know, if it was that simple, just do that. So it just kind of takes away any merit, really what merit it had left, just to, you know, like, that was beyond stupid. And like I said, some of the images were cool, but all in all, it is not a very good movie or interesting. To me personally, it wasn't. It was by the numbers. It was just what you've seen done a million times before, just repackaged. And just like, you know, interesting scene here, an interesting scene here, dialogue that goes nowhere, you know, like things that play out that you knew were going to happen, you know, because like there's parts of like the mother with the two kids dying, like, okay, I know something's going to happen there. It does. Everything happens exactly the way you think it would. And there's like no scares. I mean, that's whatsoever. And again, that's to me. I mean, I'm sure in the, you know, somebody else, you know, those Annabelle girls possibly would get a jump or two out of this. But I just did not care for it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll ever really, and it's forgettable. I mean, going through, you know, trying to go through my head, you know, leading up to the review, I was going through like, you know, I was like thinking, is that the same movie or am I thinking of something else? Because it's just like one of those movies where it's the same idea. It's just like, oh, yeah. I mean, you can just put like whatever in front of the title. Like, we could have reviewed something else and people are like, oh, okay, they didn't see it. And it's the exact same film, you know, it just, it does. There's nothing to differentiate the film from anything. I mean, it's by the numbers. I mean, I keep saying by the numbers, but that's, I mean, it's true. There's just nothing there to really make this stand out. And I really can't really recommend it, but I guess if you're like, want to see like more films from the Conjuring, you know, franchise or this universe that they're building, I mean, okay. But I mean, it's like right on, I don't even know. I mean, I guess I like The Nun a little bit better because of the atmosphere, you know, sort of what they were trying to do with the atmosphere in that one. Like, it was a little bit more, you know, like creepy in a sense. Like, this one just, like, there was nothing to it at all. I mean, they were trying with La Llorona and do, like, some scenes here and there with, like, the hallway scene with the two boys and the mirrors breaking. Like, there was, like, those scenes and then, of course, like, the umbrella scene. And then, you know, just like the same stuff, you know, like they're trying, but it's just like, there was nothing no build up to anything. It's just like, boom, here's, it's over, you know. It like it blew its load. You know, like, oh, here's this. You know, there was just like nothing to really warrant it. And like if they, like it could have been something, you know, a little bit decent, you know, like in the vein of, you know, The Nun, even though The Nun wasn't too great. Like at least they tried a little bit with The Nun, with atmosphere and some like creepy, you know, scenes and all, you know, like dark hallways and stuff. This one, I just, it was, they didn't really hit the mark, and it just was flat. It was just like a flat line. And I think the director of this is going to be directing Conjuring 3, and he, and hopefully, I don't know whether it was the script or I have no idea. But hopefully the script's way better. Again, the script could be good. It just depends on who's directing it. Like if James Wan's not directing, you know, part three, and then you have this, you know, I'm not really putting too much hope in Conjuring 3 if this is the guy directing it. Ian, I'll let you talk.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too impressed with it. I mean, I didn't hate it, but also, you know, with the movies we've been watching lately, you know, that's probably, you know, a better movie in comparison to a couple of the movies we've seen this month. But no,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I personally, I didn't hate it. I, you know, I thought it was okay for what it was. It was just like a, it doesn't bring anything new to the table. It just felt like a cash grab to expand the Conjuring universe a little bit. Since, you know, like you said, you know, The Nun and all the other Conjuring movies are coming out with. And I mean, I haven't watched any other La Llorona except for one, and that was the Goosebumps one. And I actually really liked that movie. So I was like, eh, it didn't do too bad for a kid's movie. Honestly, it had a better setup than for its scares than this movie did. But my biggest problem with the movie itself was the preacher, not a preacher. I thought
the
character was very.
Yeah,
I thought. Yeah, it just seemed a little too forced. Like I don't know. It was just like a really bad, like lines, the way he act, like his acting, just deadpan the whole time, and like I don't know. It was just. He just didn't flow with the rest of the movie. I mean, all the characters kind of weren't written well. And that's the problem I had with that. I mean, I didn't really give a crap about the characters. There wasn't enough development. They're just like, here's your characters, and this is who you're stuck with. And you're just like, it's like, whatever. I mean, but...
They're very unlikable. I mean, even the kid, you know.
Yeah, one of the kids. I kind of liked the boy.
The boy wasn't too bad.
But
he kind of knew what was going on. But the daughter, Samantha, she was a... Like, Jesus. All right, I have to get into this fucking thing. So she has this doll that her father gave her. And, she, you know, they're trying to get La Llorona out of the house. I'm thinking minor spoiler towards the end of the film, and she loses the doll, and she's looking for it, and she sees it outside the door, and they put the stuff, the fire beads to hold La Llorona, you know, La Llorona out, and here she is trying to reach out and grab it, and you know it's dumb kid things in a movie. It's just it's there as a plot device. That's a lot of things are. Everything's like a plot device for the next buildup, and. You know, she has to get the doll, even though the doll is going to be there. You know, it's not going to go anywhere, but she has to have that doll. And, you know, it's just, it's the dumbest shit. And it's one of those moments where, you know, it's supposed to build, like, tension and, like, you know, get the people talking in the theater, like, oh, no, you know. And it just was done poorly, and it was stupid nonetheless. And, again, after everything's said and done, with how they dispatchle all the Rona, it's like that was the most pointless fucking thing ever. You know, like I said, it's a plot device for no fucking reason. But I'm sorry I cut in, Ian. But go ahead.
All right, you're right. No, like, I just, that's what I was, you know, just, the, I did like the way, you know, my favorite part about all the Conjuring movies is the cinematography. Like, you know, it always has these, like, you know, dark colors and, like, the way, like, it just looks really nice. It always has, like, a nice look to it. And that's what, I mean, if, you know, if you're going to say something positive about it, I might as well just, you know, at least it wasn't shot bad, just the rest of it was. And
yeah, I mean, like, you know, they use that well and, like, working with La Llorona as well, you know, like, some of the scenes, you know, she doesn't show her face, and then, like, she does, and then, so it's like, like I said, I can't really say La Llorona herself was bad. Everything else around it was, you know, it was like, again, the cherry on top of a pile of shit. Like, well, at least, you know, it's a nice looking cherry, but sadly it's still on a pile of shit. And it's just what they did with her was cool. I mean, I was all right with it, but they could have done so much more with it.
Yeah, I think they just would have tweaked the, honestly, I think that's all it would have took was a better script and maybe have some of the actors, you know, like, do it just a tiny bit differently. I think that's the biggest problem was the script and the acting. I mean, La Llorona did a great job. I mean, it's kind of hard to mess up a character that just cries and screams.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I just was like, I don't know. I do like when that they're making these ghosts more interactive. Like, with, you know, they did that with, I thought how they did that in The Nun was kind of funny, too. Just was right there the whole time and just, like, face to face and not, like, hidden. She was like, nope, I'm here. That's what I'm going to do. But that...
Yeah.
And I wanted... I mean, there's some parts that I just was like... I literally... Because I was in literally an empty theater, I was the only person in that theater. I literally was, like, yelling, oh, my God, do something, you dumb bitch. I was just yelling at the TV. I mean, you can. Or the screen. Oh, no, I said TV. But, you know, that's what you can do. You can just scream at the thing. And, I mean, that made my – that's probably also why I had more – enjoyed it more was that I, you know, I could do stuff like that. But – well, my kid's drowning in the bathtub. I'm just going to stare at the ceiling for a few minutes before I even fucking walk. Get up and walk.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
no.
Like, she's a bad parent, too. Like, Jesus. I mean, forgot about that scene, but now you bring that up. That was ridiculous, too. Like, oh, there's some loud commotion going upstairs. I better stand here with my son for 5 minutes and hold him and just, like, question what's going on before I realize, oh, yeah, my daughter's in the bathtub.
Exactly. And who lets their child take a bath when they know that there's probably a ghost that drowns children? why would you leave your child alone when that happens? And I was just like... Oh, no.
Well, technically, at that point, she didn't believe it until she just got back to the house, and then finally shit hit the fan. So, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's just stuff like that just makes it, you know, just not a very well thought out movie. where it's just like, that's just a bad parent, just standing there and looking at shit.
No,
I know. I was watching a Spanish film last night because I don't know why, I just wanted to watch a random Spanish film. It was like called Tundas Maldita. It's a very, very obscure horror anthology from like the 2002. And there's like a little kid. One of the stories is about this ghost girl, and she pushes him in a well. And the well is like not even knee deep. It's like half, you know, of course he's a little kid, but it's still not knee deep. It's half as from his ankle to his knee. And he's just like waddling around in the water. And like, all you had to do is stand up, kid. And it's like, just stand the fuck up. But they're trying to build suspense. So it's like, that's not working either when the water is not that deep. It's stupid little thing. It just like came out, you know, I wanted to bring it up. It's just like, oh God, it's almost as bad. Where it just has something stupid like that. And again, like that could have worked well as, you know, because of the hand thing, you know, not being her mother and just washing her hair and everything like that. I mean, it could have worked. I mean, it was a cool scene, but it just did not, you know, work well with everything else that was going on. But yeah, really wouldn't recommend it. And it did do well for what it is, but of course it's, you don't really have anything else in theaters until, you know, of course until now, but on a $9 million budget, it made 26. So it did make its money back twofold. Well, actually threefold, right? 9, 8. Yeah, so it did well. So we'll get more. You know, we'll get another La Llorona 2. You know, maybe the second one. Like it's always been, the first one sucks, the second one comes around, it's way better. You know, so we'll do the whole.
And I think they could definitely. And like I said, I mean, if they just would have tweaked just a couple of things. And stop and like added more suspense without, you know, a plot device to build up, you know, I think everything could have, like, honestly, the idea and the setups and everything would have been just perfect. Like, honestly, I think it would have been a good movie, but I don't know.
They just kind of shot themselves in the foot by going the safe route and by the numbers. And again, I don't know if this is the guy's first film. I have to look that into that as well, if that's his directorial debut or not. But he's just getting his feet wet. So I guess if it is his first film and you're getting your feet wet, you go the safe route until you figure out, you know, what to do next. But if there is a La Llorona 2, which I probably would think there is with the money it made, get someone that knows the genre. You know, we don't need no Annabelle director, you know, the first Annabelle, the John Leonidas or whatever his name was. I don't know. I don't know his first name, last name, but I know it was John something. But yeah, we don't need anything like that because he doesn't know how to do horror. I mean, he fucking did Wish Upon, for fucking crying out loud. And that movie was more of a comedy than it was a horror film. Any final words for The Curse of La Llorona?
No. I think we said it all.
Yeah. All right, then. So that'll do it for our review of The Curse of La Llorona. I guess like the only thing I could recommend it to, I don't even really want to recommend it because if you see, judging by our take on the film, you pretty much know exactly what's going to happen beat for beat. And there's just only a cool, you know, a few cool imagery scenes here and there with La Llorona. Everything else just, you know, exposition that leads to nowhere or a build up scene that, whatever. It's not really worth your time. So, but if you want to see something horror related, and you already seen Pet Sematary, I mean, go see it, whatever. So with that, we're going to go into our final Easter Horrors film of the month. And
yay.
Yeah, it was, what a month, Ian, what a month of these Easter films. And Little Bunny left us one last film, and that is Easter Casket. And directed by Dustin Wade Mills. And I know Dustin, you know, I've seen Dustin Wade Mills films, other films besides this one. So this is one I've been wanting to see for a while. I just never got around to it. And this is, let's see, when it was like 2012, 2013. So this is like when he was going crazy with like the video editor, and I had a lot of like CG and like fake blood and all kinds of stuff, you know, like sort of like bath salt zombies. And there's another one. I don't remember, but he was just, like, going crazy with like CG. Now he's like in like more avant-garde art house style. Like Her Name Was Torment and Apple Cart, stuff like that. But this is like, you know, during his crazy idea heydays with like Puppet Monster Massacre and Snuffette, which is a puppet snuff film. Or just like nothing but puppets. So this is like him just like making like crazy movies before he started to go like more, you know, like straightforward in a sense, and, you know, avant-garde art house type, not really art house, but, you know, just like more adult, because now, you know, he does a lot of nudity in his films, like as you could tell with Easter Casket, but now it's like, you know, he's like doing a lot of like a close-up shots of like penises and, you know, especially if you watch Apple Cart, you know, there's a lot of stuff in that one, and Her Name Was Torment and all those stuff. So this one, so I kind of knew what to expect a little bit going into it. Like, okay, it's a killer rabbit movie. I didn't know what kind of killer rabbit it was going to be, and then, boom, you get it right off the back, and it's a puppet, so he's going back to his puppet roots. And we have ourselves a bunny. And what was his name? Tamoose or something like that is the name of the bunny. And basically the gist of it is that churches, or the big church, I guess the Vatican, are wanting to take the Easter, basically the Easter bunny and candy and all that stuff. They want to do away with that for Easter and take it back to its roots with like Jesus and everything. And it's, you know, the bunny, you know, Easter Bunny's not very happy with that. And so he goes out on a killing spree, killing priests and nuns and anybody who gets in his way. And so we have our main character, Father Asher, who is sent to go after. And Father Asher, in a sense, I guess I'd just go ahead and say that, he's sort of like a Christian, or not Christian, but Catholic Iron Man, in a sense, because he's able to, like, come in and out of, like, this super suit that protects him. He's like a knight, in a sense, with, like, a big giant cross.
Yeah.
And, like, you shoot him, and he's, like, invincible because the bullets reflect off of him. And so he's, like, again, like a Catholic Iron Man, in a sense. And so he is dispatched by the mega pope, which is basically a big giant head, that's in a church, and he sends him off to, like, you need to stop the Easter bunny, and, they're somewhere, you need to stop him. And so we have the Easter bunny just going on a rampage while, Father Asher is on the trails of him, and the bunny is killing people in, various ways, some, you know, and the film's, it knows what it is. I mean, this is like, again, this is like the opposite in a sense of like Beaster Day, you know, like it kind of knew it was a bad movie. And then I kind of came to the realization when I was, I'll tell you this. I watched a lot of films in the early days, from a director called Z. Winston Brown. It turns out it's the same director, but under a different name. Who did Beaster Day. So it was like a crazy turn of events there. So it knows what it is, but it still plays it serious. And I think that's kind of like one of the downfalls in it halfway through the movie, because it's a short movie. It's like 65 minutes, but there's like all this conversation and dialogue, and it's just like character development between Asher and the one girl, Abby. And there's, like, their dialogue just, like, because I'll get into that, I guess, a little bit later. But just, like, their chemistry was kind of a little off, and just like there's like the scenes between the bunny coming and doing stuff is few and far between. But like the scenes of the bunny are awesome, you know. Like I enjoyed the scenes of the bunny and what he was doing, and like his dialogue and, you know, this vulgar bunny just going around, you know, doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, being the, you know, a bad, you know, Bugs Bunny, you know, you know, vulgar Bugs Bunny, and he's just like, you know, he wants to, you know, bring the, basically, since we are doing spoilers, he's the Antichrist in a sense, and this other priest, Catholic priest, brought him to life because he's a demon, and so he brought, you know, destruction onto the world, and so the, you know, he's the Easter Bunny's doing all this shit, or this demon, and of course the Easter Bunny doesn't like the word demon, and he gets angry. And there's like all this, you know, all these scenes where like the first half, like the first 20 minutes, like I'm all in, right? Like 20, 30 minutes of the movie I'm in, because it's like I was having fun with it. You know, you have the very first nun get like nailed to the cross, and like she has like Easter eggs inside of her, or not. I think she had like an Easter egg inside of her when they were going through the autopsy and handing it to Father Asher. And then, like,
yeah,
she comes back after you know, Father Asher does like a ceremony, brings her back to life for a little second and talks to her, and she gives her the, you know, like the egg and stuff and talks about things. And then you have like the priest and the one nun, and like he has a big giant black dildo on his table that he's reading the Bible and looking at the black dildo, and then he hides it under the bed, and then the nun comes in, which Jason Crow and Ronnie Jonah, who great people, I've seen him before at a convention. So they're doing their thing where like he's trying to hide the dildo, and she's like on the bed, like putting her hand right on it, just talking about things, and just like that little scene, you know, banter is fun, and you know, I had a, you know, smirk on my face listening to it, and then she finds the dildo, and then like there's like sex going on between them, and then, you know, their demise soon after, and it just goes on from there. And then like there's like the one scene with like the jelly beans that had like the chicken embryos that killed the one girl, and the eggs and all of her insides comes out of her ass, and then like, which I thought was kind of odd, because if you're chewing the jelly bean with the embryo inside of it, Ian, wouldn't you be basically killing the embryo if you're chewing it, so it wouldn't be able to move inside of you? You know what I mean? It's just like, it didn't make sense, but whatever. It's one of those movies that really you have to turn your brain off. And
yeah,
just like the you know, just a bunch of like crazy scenes, you know, like the eggs coming out of her inside, just like her ass just falling out in a sense. And then yeah, it's just like the Easter Bunny comes and goes here and there, you know, one-liners, and then there's like a scene where he's fucking rabbits, you know, having an orgy of rabbits, and basically wanting to, again, to basically, what happens is that he has to come to the world, and he has to have another girl, and it's a little crazy in all of his life. So again, there's like that little half point once Father Asher meets Abby, where it kind of takes a slow, you know, kind of dumbs it down a little bit, and just like,
yeah,
nothing happens for a while, and it just, that's like the one thing that like I was with it, and then that happened, and then I'm just kind of out of it. And like you could have shortened that and done a little bit more. I mean, it's still not that long, but just like, you know, talking about like Abby, like, oh, have you ever had sex, do you want sex, would you like sex, stuff like that, and he's like split, you know, between yes and no, and there's just, it just, it kind of felt weird and forced in a sense. You know, like if they just kept like the, you know, the stupid humor with like the priest and the nun and like all that through there. I mean, I thought it was doing good, and then just it hit that wall and just kind of fell apart. And it just lead, you know, again, it's just the middle part just did not work. The beginning and end was all right, but that middle part just did not work for me.
Yeah.
I know I've talked enough. Ian, go ahead. You have 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even realize what time it was. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, I totally agree with what you were saying. Like, some of the sex scenes, they just didn't really need them all. And the rabbit was the best part of the movie. I wish they would have done more with him. And I know that the name they use is actually a Mesopotamian god that Ezekiel, that was on that Bible verse. I looked it up, and it was about him, like how a group of women were worshiping him. So that's what the whole thing was about, and what the women stood for. So at least the movie actually, like, made sense biblically. And mm-hmm. I thought that kind of neat. I really liked that about it. Like, it kept to a somewhat, you know, true to the Bible, but, oh my God, that movie turned my brain to goo. Ninja Rabbit. That's fucking stupid. Oh, but I could keep going on, but I'm scared I'm going to run out of time. Oh, I got three.
No, you got some time. You got some time. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you know, I mean, other than the pointless sex scenes, and that scene was pretty forced. Do you want to have sex? I'm like, just say it. Stop beating around the bush. Stop making this movie longer than it needs to be. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was one of the more enjoyable Easter movies we've watched. I just want to know where they got that doll. And honestly, the movie didn't look bad itself. And I love the Monty Python reference that was in there, the holy hand grenade.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but I don't know.
Yeah, like
I said,
it is one of the better ones. I mean, it kind of, again, I still don't know if it, I mean, in a sense, it is better than Beaster Day, because it is more, you know, it knows what it is, and it kind of makes fun of itself here and there, but it still has that serious side to it, even though at the end of it, the bunny grows to a monster, you know, monstrous proportions. So you have, like, you know, a giant bunny roaming the city, like, breathing, like, fire and fireballs and causing destruction. So it turns it into a crazy, you know, sort of like 50s monster movie in a sense. And then, of course, you know, you have Asher turns into the Iron Man, Catholic Iron Man, fighting him off, and the hand grenade stuff. Like, it knew what it was. I mean, I think it turned out to be a little bit better than Beaster Day. So it's like, I'd put this, then Beaster Day, then, oh, God, I don't even know. I guess the other two are tied because they both sucked. I guess I'd put The Night Before Easter and then Easter Bunny Bloodbath because that, I don't know, maybe Easter Bunny Bloodbath because it had the baby in the basket at the end of the movie, so that maybe gives it a little bit of a point. But, again, both of those were not very good. I know there's one more, well, there's more Easter, well, not Easter related, but Bunny related. I mean, there's the Bunny Man films, but maybe next year we can get Easter Bunny Kill Kill. I heard that one's way better than most of these, so we'll have to give that a go next year, Ian. Hopefully there's more. I mean, there's few and far between, but give it another year. Hopefully it will few more come out. But, I mean, I do suggest this one. I mean, it's not too bad. And, again, I don't know, just the Doofy Rabbit and Beaster Day was fun, but it's still not a good movie.
No.
So, yeah, I guess that's going to do it. So, again, next week, I don't know what's going to be happening for the show, so we'll just have to play it by ear. Maybe we'll do some reviews. I know the new I Spit on Your Grave movie came out, but I know it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, so that's going to be interesting to see if I can get that in. Maybe I can review that. But nonetheless, Ian, that's going to do it for us tonight. Take care of yourself, and thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
Night.